Lord.
Amen.
We're going to look at a couple verses in the New Testament to start out with. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. So if you want to turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And would you stand with me for reading in God's Word? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, just two verses, starting in 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. And 2 Corinthians chapter 6, one verse, verse 3, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, thank you for everyone that came out today, Father. God, open our hearts. Open our spirits, open our souls, open every part of us, Father. And God, remove anything, Lord God. God, that would hinder your spirit this morning, Father. God, we want to be fresh, we want to be clean, we want to be yielded to you, Father. And God, we thank you. Thank you for your word, Father. God, your word is everything we need. Father, everything in your word, Father, is for us, for today, Father. And so, God, as we look into your word, Father, God, we ask that, for the Holy Spirit to give us revelation. God, help us, Lord God, to just be all that you've called us and chosen us to be, Father. And we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So this morning we want to talk about something that all of us will experience in our lives, or you probably have experienced in your life. It's called offenses. And everybody says, yep, been there, done that, right? In Genesis 13:7, very interesting portion of scripture, and it's about Abraham and about Lot. And in Genesis 13:7, and there was a strife. Now, listen to these words. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I'll go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I'll go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. So here's this passage of Scripture, and everything in Scripture we can glean from, right? There's something there for us today. So there's some very interesting things we're going to look at. And in verse 7, there was strife, or there was offenses, between Lot's herdmen and Abram's herdmen. Two groups. Now in the last part of that, there's something very interesting. It's just like randomly thrown in there. But nothing, God doesn't put anything in there just to fill space, right? So in the last part of that, it says, and there were Canaanites and Perizzites in the land. I thought we was talking about Lot, his herdmen, and Abram's herdmen, right? What is this Canaanite and Perizzite in the land? Well, in Joshua 3:10, there's seven enemies in the land that had to be conquered, driven out, done away with. Not just make compromise or anything else, but they were to be done away with. There was the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Seven. So they had to go in and to possess their promised land. How many have a promised land? Anybody have a spiritual promised land? Okay, guess what? You got enemies in there that don't want you in. So here's these seven enemies in there that had to be driven out. And the meanings of their names. How many know the meanings of all their names? Well, every one of them were known for something, just like groups of people are known for something. It could be the American Red Cross, it could be Salvation Army, whatever, you know, organization. They're known for something, right? And so all these groups of people were known for something. And what they're known for, interestingly, reflects evil spirits that we're going to be confronted with. And some of this stuff may influence how people act, or what they say, or even what we hear. So the Canaanites, the name means merchants who humiliate. The Canaanites were motivated by greed and lust for the accumulation of earthly and material wealth. Canaanites and their name means humiliation, embarrassment, and or shame. Emotionalism. They're dominated by emotionalism. Perizzites. They had no discipline and restriction. Limited vision, laziness, low self-esteem. Periz means to separate, become fragmented, and have no boundaries. Proverbs 25:28 says, like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. So as we look at these things, there was offenses there, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites was present, right? Isn't that what it said? So it's pretty reasonable to think that they was doing some influencing in these groups of people. So the enemy can send offenses through people to distract you from the things God wants you to do in you and through you. The enemy also works through offenses to kill, steal, and destroy. Offenses will... How many's ever had offenses? Offenses will wear us out, right? Then comes fear. Next is failure. And last is forsaken. It's just like the train coming down the tracks, right? When offenses come. Here comes this, you know? And you feel like a failure. And eventually, You feel forsaken, like you're the only one. How many have ever been there? You know what I'm talking about. But notice how Abram responded. Now he could have said, hey kid, straighten your guys out, right? But Abram said, you just, whatever you want, you go ahead and take it. I'll take whatever's left. Abram responded by grace. The title of the message is, Only by Grace. You know, we live in a world that is saturated by offenses. And so we need to understand how to deal with offenses in our life. Jesus said they're coming, right? He said, you're going to have offenses. So what's an offense? The word offense is a double-edged sword. There's the act of offending. An offense is an act that brings annoyance, displeasure, or resentment. Something that causes a person to be hurt, angry, or upset. Something that is wrong or improper. A lack of politeness, a failure to show regard for others, wounding the feelings of others. Matthew 18:7. Woe unto the world because of offenses. Here's what Jesus said. For it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense comes. Amplified puts it this way. Woe, judgment is coming to the world because of stumbling blocks and temptations to sin. It's inevitable that stumbling blocks come. But woe to the person on whose account or through whom the stumbling block comes. Wow. There's a lot in there. How many have ever caused a stumbling block to come to anybody? You don't put your hand up, but how many have ever had somebody put a stumbling block in your way? Does anybody get James Dobson? He is now with Family Talk. He, for years and years and years, he was with Focus on the Family. But now he's has a whole new program. It's called Family Talk. How many get the daily devotion for couples? Anybody here get that on your internet? Well, I have no idea how I got it, but it just started coming. So every day there's a devotion. It's good. Well, this one day, here's what James Dobson said. Have you ever set yourself on fire with sparks spraying from your tongue? All of us have made that costly mistake. We knew we had blundered the moment the comment flew out of our mouths, but it was too late. If we tried for 100 years, we couldn't take back a single remark. Here's what he said. The first year Shirley and I were married, Shirley's his wife, the first year Shirley and I were married, she became very angry with me about something that neither of us can recall. In the frustration of the moment, she said, if this is marriage, I don't want any part of it. She didn't mean it and regretted her words almost immediately. An hour later, we had reconciled and forgiven each other. But Shirley's statement could not be taken back. We've laughed about it through the years, and the issue is inconsequential today. Still, there is nothing either of us could do to erase the utterance of the moment. Words are not only remembered for a lifetime, but if not forgiven, they endure beyond the chilly waters of death. We read in Matthew 12:36, I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. Thank God those of us who have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ are promised that our sins and our harsh words will be remembered against us no more and will be removed as far as the east is from the west. Psalms 103:12. Apart from that atonement, however, our words will follow us forever. Okay? So when we come and we get right with God and we're walking with God and we've been forgiven, you know, the Bible says that our sins have been cast into the sea of forgetfulness. It's gone, right? And there's a sign by the sea. Anybody know what the sign says? Sign says no fishing. That means God don't fish in that sea, and you don't fish in that sea. It's done. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. So how many have never offended anybody? How about offending God? Anybody ever offended God? Yeah, we all have, right? Romans 4:24 says, but for us also to whom it, speaking of righteousness, shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Amplified puts it this way, who was betrayed and put to death because of our misdeeds or our sins, and was raised to secure our justification, our acquittal, making our account balance and absolving, setting us free or releasing us from all guilt before God. Hallelujah. So all the times we've offended God, and we've all been there. Right? In one way or another, we've offended God. But, hallelujah. Thank God for the cross. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, before Christ, we was enemies with God. And now he calls us friends. Glory to God. And then there's a state of being offended or displeased, anger, displeasure. To become angry or upset by something that another person has said or done. Annoyance or resentment brought about by a perceived insult. Now get that. By a perceived insult. And how many know, depending on our day, when everything's going good, stuff can come, and like water running off a duck's back, no problem, right? But boy, when we're having a bad day, of course you guys never had a bad day. But when things aren't going right, when it seems like everything's going wrong, Murphy's Law has kicked in. Then it's pretty easy to perceive an offense. Even if there was nothing the furthest thing from somebody's mind. But it's how the state we were in when we heard it. You know, if something seems out of character, you know, maybe you're the best friends with somebody and something said or whatever. and you know better than to be offended at it, right? Ask for clarification. You know, you don't have to be confrontational about it, but just say, now let me get this straight. Is this what I heard? Is this what you said? Because maybe the person said something or said it in some way, and that's not the way you received it. Not just because you were having a bad day, but you didn't receive what was spoken. Well, how could that be? Well, we have an adversary, the devil. And there's a spirit called Leviathan. And he twists things. And so that spirit may have intercepted the words and twisted them, and what was said maybe wasn't exactly what you heard. Now, you may have never experienced this. I was talking to, years and years and years ago, talking to a couple, and there was a barrier up in the communication. And even when one would say good things, the other person couldn't receive them. And so as we went into this thing, we realized that there was this spirit that was twisting things and blocking things, and the good things it wasn't able to receive, and the compliments and things like that. And other stuff was being twisted. And so once the spirit was dealt with that was operating, then the communication could flow. Every offense not properly dealt with will ruin relationships and will give the devil access. Offenses are door openers for the enemy. Matthew 5:23. Another one of those portions of scripture. Matthew 5 is about what? Sermon on the Mount. And so, Matthew 5:23. It's interesting how stuff is seemingly inserted in. And we're so used to reading it that we don't see that what happened here. You know, sometimes it's like verse 10, and then there's stuff in there, and then about verse 25, it picks it back up. Anybody ever seen that before? You wonder, what? Of course, we're so used to reading it, we don't even realize that, what is this? And so anyways, in verse 5:23, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remember that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. Verse 25. Agree with thine adversary quickly, while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary, how many have an adversary? The adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. And so here is, there's offenses going on, right? There's a problem going on. And Jesus says, because it hasn't been dealt with, now you're open to the devil, right? And your adversary, now, because you haven't addressed this thing, like we need to do, right? Because you haven't addressed it, now the adversary has a claim. And so he takes the claim before the judge. How many know who the judge is? God's a judge. God's a righteous judge. And so God has to judge righteously. And so Satan comes, and God says, well, what are you doing here, Satan? And Satan says, well, you know, I have this prisoner, right? A prisoner. I have this prisoner, and he's guilty. Because he's hanging on to this offense. Instead of letting it go, instead of dealing with it, he just hangs right on to it. And so the judge says, well, what do you got to say for yourself?
Case dismissed.
And he looks at Jesus, and Jesus says, that's true. Right? They're hanging on to, they won't forgive. They're hanging on to this offense. And so the righteous judge turns the prisoner back over to, yeah, to the adversary, the devil. And what does he do? Put you in prison. And you don't get out until everything's dealt with. Very interesting. There's always a price to pay for every offense when not properly handled. Jesus said to his disciples, stumbling blocks, temptation, and traps set to lure one to sin are sure to come. But woe, judgment is coming to him through whom they come. Tell you one thing, I don't want to let any offenses come through me. How about you guys? Yeah. Prolonged offenses, when due, birth bitterness. And bitterness, when not curbed, leads to wickedness. This is all a process. As we harbor these offenses, bitterness is rooted in offenses. You cannot be bitter and expect to be better. Bitterness is the fuel for the fire of sickness. How many have ever been sick and want to be healed? What do you do? Say, God, heal me! How many ever say, God, check things out. See if there's anything that's stopping my healing. Hebrews 12:15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, thereby many be defiled. Only by grace. Amen. How you respond to offenses will prove your spiritual growth and maturity. If you're easily offended at all times and at everything, It's a sign you're not maturing as a Christian. We're supposed to be dead to that stuff, right? It's not supposed to be bothering us. If as a believer you refuse to let go of offenses, there's a chance you might not make it to heaven. Matthew 6:14. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Then there's that connecting word. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's serious business. So here's Peter having a conversation with Jesus. And apparently he was offended about something. I don't know what it was. I don't think the Bible tells us what it was, right? Maybe it was something going on in his marriage. Peter was married, right? I think that's the only disciple that tells about being married. So anyways, here's Peter. Peter says to Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive? It's like he's frustrated. How many times do I have to forgive? And then he says, seven times? Now, seven times, that was complete, right? Peter's going the extra mile. Seven times? He didn't say one time or two time or... But he said, seven times? What'd Jesus say? not just seven times, but 70 times seven. That's forever. Most times offenses manifest through three channels. Words, what you hear, what you say, and how you say it. Thoughts, what you think others think about you, and what people think about you. And actions, what you do, what you refuse to do, what others do against you, or what they don't do that they should do. That's a lot of stuff, isn't it? But you squeeze it down into those three categories and it's pretty easy to. So how do we handle offenses? Offenses come and go. But many times the fruits of the offenses last beyond the offense itself. So we have to understand how to deal with offenses. Even before they occur, right? That's the best thing we can do is be, you know, understand some things. So we got to position ourselves to always get the best out of it. How many know God wants the best for us? So here's some ways to handle offenses. One, understand and agree within yourself that offenses are part of life's process and it's a test of maturity for the believers. How many like tests? How many can say when an offense comes, that's okay, it's just a test? How many have failed the test? You know what? You always get the chance to take the test over, right? It's usually harder the next time. Yeah. About the time I get the answers, they change the questions. Make a decision to let go of offenses by settling and forgiving easily. If you're not willing to let go of offenses, you're not ready to walk with God and enjoy the best of God. Be kind and compassionate, Hebrews 12:14. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. Just as in Christ God forgave you. So we need to be ready to just forgive. move on. Because if you get in this rut of offense, and that's what it is. Used to be in Alaska, there was a sign. It says, along the road, it said, choose your rut carefully, for the next 200 miles you'll be in it. And that's what offenses will do. It'll keep you in the rut. And the longer you're there, the rut gets deeper, right? And harder to get out. If you're continually renewing your mind with God's Word, when offenses come, you'll have the mind of Christ and be able to respond like Jesus did. I think that's a good thing. By the renewing of our mind. When our hearts are filled with the goodness of God, praise for Him and love for others will pour forth. Sincere love for God and for man will make it easy to walk in forgiveness. 1 Peter 4:8 Amplified says, above all things, have intense and unfailing love for one another. For love covers a multitude of sins, forgives and disregards the offenses of others. And we must continually, somebody say continually, seek for God's grace. Absolutely. Only by the grace of God will we be empowered to handle and deal with offenses.
I have a testimony. I didn't realize I had a testimony. You said your lesson here, but this week I was feeling bad because a few months ago I had been praying and asking the Lord what He wanted me to do, and I felt like I should try to sing once a month out at the village in, at Morrison's Cove there. I had an aunt out there, and just to kind of encourage the patients, you know, that stay there, I was going out once a month to sing. And I didn't make it out this month in January. I called the other day to set something up, and it wasn't going to work until February. And I was feeling pretty guilty about it this morning, but I didn't make it out. And I was doing my daily devotionals this morning, reading my Bible. And my daily devotional was actually in Romans 8, 38-39, was a couple of the verses in the devotional. And while I was sitting there, the Lord led me to another verse. And I thought, well, that one I really needed this morning. And it's Romans 8, 1, and it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And I felt like I needed that this morning, and I thought maybe it might bless someone else too, because that's sort of, you know, God is so forgiving and helps us let things go. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to share.
Right. Yes. Interesting scripture. There is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we stop there. But it said, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So when we're walking in the flesh, we're going to hang on to offenses. When we're walking in the Spirit, it's going to be easy to just let go of them, you know, and deal with them, and just forgive, and be forgiven. And a lot of times,